This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
All right, I'm ready.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
Rob.
And I'm Robert. And you're listening to episode 247 for Monday, April 15th, 2024.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. We're also going to talk about a bunch of random shit, like my upcoming 8th grade trip. I'm not in 8th grade. I have an 8th grader, though, who's is one of my spawn.
He could be.
And we're going to go to D.C. That's all I got. Continue. What else are we going to talk about?
Well, in crazy news, we're going to talk about the Mile High P Club. A creative porch pirate, the missed school bus, illegal butt injections, a child support strategy, and the MLB treatment.
Nice. Two weeks in a row. Not 2 weeks in a row, not to brag. Now, that being said, don't expect 3 weeks
here
in
it goes.
Because next week probably won't happen.
No.
It's going to be a little bit crazy week.
Yeah.
My oldest and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the 8th grade field trip. So it's going to be really great waking up. We got to be there at 2:45, it doesn't matter, 2:45 a.m. We got to be at the school to board a charter bus. And with me and some other adults and like 140 kids. So I'm very excited. Luckily, they sent like rules and expectations and some information, some FAQs home. They did say that if a student has a parent who's attending the trip, which obviously Colin does, that we will be sitting next to each other on the plane. So I'm like, all right, cool. So at least I'm not next to
Rando parent.
But they did say though, they did say that there are other people on the flight who are not part of our group. And my first thought was, these poor bastards that have to be on this plane with 140 eighth graders at 6 in the morning.
Oh, all the other people.
You know, I feel bad for them. I'm like, oh, man, they don't even know. They don't even know that the snake pit they're walking into on this airplane of a bunch of excited kids ready to tour Washington, D.C. And then there's going to be me wearing headphones saying fucking... It's Southwest. I don't know. Do they serve Bloody Marys on a flight at 6 in the morning? I don't know. I know Delta would give me Bloody Marys. I don't know if Southwest works, though. But all kidding aside, it'll be
fun. Bring those little airplane bottles with you. You make what you want.
Regardless, it'll be fun. I don't think I'll be drinking on the airplane. I'm not going to be the dad.
Right.
Who's like just going around like drinking
on vacation
and stuff like that. No, I have to be responsible and set a good example.
Uh-oh.
And while my kids know that daddy likes to drink sometimes, I don't think that in the middle at 6 in the morning on an airplane down to our school trip would be the best time to do that.
You put in a thermos or a Yeti or something, nobody will know.
If they don't know, it won't hurt them. Isn't that what they say?
Exactly. Well, that'd be good. We'll definitely keep in touch throughout that time and make sure we've got an opportunity to meet up at some point. And all day Saturday is available, even if it's an hour or so in between things, or you got to duck out a little bit. But sure, we'll find some sort of time. And if not, then I'm already planning on coming up to see you guys. We got to figure out what to do then too.
I'm excited about that more than anything. It'll be
it'll be longer than probably an hour.
It'll be fun to leave the kids behind and do some things over here.
Right. Too funny. Well, one of the things we'd probably be doing is drinking, so I think we'd go ahead and get into our beer so we can get to the crazy news.
Straight into it.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
Got the
hanging
right
out and having a few beers with friends, which I gladly do, which I fully embrace.
We drank beer. My friends and I,
boys and girls,
like beer, like beer.
Trump was surprised.
I was surprised at how vocal he was about the fact that he likes beer.
So this week, going to our friends at Three Floyds, I guess they're friends. I don't know. I've had them on the show before one time. Wow. But anyways, going to our friends at Three Floyds Brewing. And what I have is the Barrel Age Blot Out the Sun. And it is some sort of imperial fucking... It's an imperial stout. It says, our barrel age version of Blot Out the Sun returns each December to coincide with the darkest days of the year. Whoops. So, I mean, that's maybe not seasonally... I mean, it's an imperial stout. It doesn't fucking matter. Spending over a year in a Willett bourbon barrels, this massive imperial stout extinguishes all light with notes of chocolate, molasses, and brown sugar, and whiskey notes from the extended barrel aging. It is 13.8% alcohol by volume, 100 IBUs. And the bottle's really cool. It's got like a metallic label on the bottle. It's all like darkness and skulls and darkness. That's all I got for you. Oh, it's kind of a cool bottle. Just smoke and darkness and things raining down from the sky, covering the sun and all life, and it's doom and gloom. And here we go. It's an imperial stout. I'm excited to try it. I do like Three Floyds. I've had them once on the show, but I've had them other times too, and they're a pretty good brewery. So let's see what we got here. First off, ooh, there's boozy on the nose. I smell the booze, maybe a little bit of chocolate. I'm not getting molasses or brown sugar on the nose anyways. It's basically just like booze with maybe a little bit of chocolate. It's an imperial stout, so let's see what it tastes like. By the way, it is dark as hell, as we would anticipate. Ooh, it's boozy. Whoa. Okay. Well, booze forward on this one, guys.
Taste it right away.
Chocolate. Getting chocolate. Maybe a little brown sugar. I don't know if I'm getting molasses. It's just a sweetness to it, though. There is a sweetness to it, but a lot of booze.
13%.
13.8%. And it's pretty good. When I look at Untappd, though, Untappd is lying to me and you and everyone. And it says, Untappd says that it's, oh, it says 13.4. Never mind. Sorry, Untappd.
Well, you said 13.8 a second ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's an annual release, so I'm just going to go. So this is the December 2023 release. So I'm going to go with what the website says at 13.8.
Yeah.
And it does look like there has been a check-in from one of my friends on Untappd, and I only have like 5 friends on Untappd. So let's see who it was. Tony D. Is that, that's Tony from Eastern Michigan, isn't it?
Yep.
Tony from Eastern Michigan checked in. He rated it a 4. Let's see, in 2017.
He's
gotten better since then. He rated
it was a lot
4.
Less boozy at that point.
Yeah, it was only 13.4 at that, and 97 IBUs. They upped the ABV and the IBU in this one. Let's see here. First, I got to check in. What episode is it? 247?
47.
247. I'm going to rate this one. It's good. It's got a lot of, you know, I might be in agreement with Tony on this one. I think it's like a 4.
Yeah.
It's an imperial stout. Like, if you know what an imperial stout tastes like, it's going to taste like booze, and it's going to taste like some notes of chocolate. Maybe some brown sugar. I do get the sweetness, so maybe that's from the brown sugar. Yeah. But you know, nonetheless, it's pretty good beer. So I'm going to rate it a 4 as well. I don't agree with Tony from Eastern Michigan on very many things. but one thing I do agree with him on is that this particular beer is a 4, and I'm gonna lock it in.
Lock it in
a 4. I think this is pretty good. I got a Buscemi's pizza. They have good pizza. As well, I did not get any, because this week I'm trying to lose weight. Next week might be a different story.
So you can get in the plane with just one buckle.
I have not entered the stage of where I need to ask for the seatbelt extenders from the flight crew. Now,
you bring your own bungee cord.
Especially, I've noticed on the smaller planes, I don't know why, but the smaller planes tend to have smaller seatbelt. So there was one, where were we going? When I was in a smaller plane, I'm like, oh, this is snug. I made it work. I'm like, I'm not going to ask for a seatbelt extender.
You tuck it under.
Yeah, but so I have not had to.
Push it way down on your hips. This is good.
This is fine. I'm gonna
you sit
fine.
As far back in the seat as you can.
As soon as that seatbelt light goes off, it's like you got to release the pressure. But anyway, so I'm going to rate it a 4. Pretty good beer. I like it. If you see it and you're looking for something dark and sexy, this is a good one to get. Last time I had Three Floyds, the only time I've had Three Floyds in the show is episode 160, Larceny of Livestock. Larceny of Livestock. And we don't reference that episode a lot because I had a Three Floyds and you had to chop it up from Southern Grist, and I don't think you've had any more Southern Grist since then. So episode 160, Larceny of Livestock. It was a tremendous episode. I don't remember it, but it was a tremendous episode. It was right between Do You Electric and Rampaging Cow. So I'm just throwing that out there. The episode 160, that had to have been like, that was like, was that Prime? Was that Prime? No, that was after. That was after Prime COVID. That was 2021.
Yeah, August.
When that episode came out.
Yeah, a guy stole a horse and hid it in his bedroom.
Yeah, there was something about Michael Jackson.
Ghost of Michael Jackson.
Some guy that looked like, what's his face, Steven Tyler, but wasn't.
Oh, yeah. This woman was a who woman. Looks awfully was like a Steven woman who Tyler. Looked, yeah.
yeah.
Was not
yeah.
guilty of 19 murders due to severe premenstrual syndrome.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a good episode. You should go back and listen to it if you haven't. And you would have seen or heard me have a Bruce Robert. The Bruce from Three Floyds. Last time I've had Three Floyds. Friends of the show.
Well, thankfully, mine's from a more recent episode as far as Friends of the Show goes. But I'm going to go back to our friends at Equilibrium Brewery. And I'm going to drink their Maple Whip this time. And only... And I went to check in and I put Equilibrium and it came up and it said, oh, you've had one. And just... couple episodes ago, 244 Severed Ducts, I had the Emperor's Marsh Melatonin, and I remember that being good, and that was the one that I said that I liked, that it had enough vanilla in it. I remember last week I didn't have enough vanilla that episode. I did, and that was also when you drank your 1792 Sweet Wheat out of the burnt mug.
Yeah, that's right. So that was just a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, it wasn't very long ago. But anyway, back to this one. Again, it's the Maple Whip, which is from Equilibrium Brewery, and it comes in at 11% alcohol by volume, and it is an Imperial Double Pastry Stout. I don't think I looked to see where Equilibrium is from. Oh, brewed and bottled at Equilibrium in Middletown, New York. I don't think I would have guessed that. Untappd tells us that Maple Whip tastes like inspiration from the Whippet Maple Cookie, a combination of, and I love shit out of cookies, a combination of tasty textures, including a soft cookie base. And I don't really like the soft cookies. Topped with fluffy marshmallow and sweet maple center.
Would you rather have soft cookies or hard cookies in a beer, though?
Hard cookies. Well, hard cookies in a beer, for sure. Oh, in the beer? I don't want to be chewing the beer. But like, if you get the soft batch, is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I like the crunchy chips way better than that.
But you like fudgy? No, you like cakey brownies.
Oh, cakey. Yeah, cakey.
You got a weird texture thing going on there.
Yep, that's what the problem is. Topped with fluffy marshmallow and a sweet maple center.
Very problematic.
All covered in chocolate.
Oh,
one
good.
Taste had us in the lab concocting our newest creation, which starts off with our EQ-based stout, followed by an addition of maple syrup, graham crackers, marshmallows, and cacao nibs. A viscous pour with chocolate maple aroma is supported by satisfying flavors of maple chocolate cake with marshmallow frosting, brown sugar, and graham cracker, caramel candy, maple dip s'mores, and a touch of roastiness from our dark malt to balance the flavors out and make this beer perfect for the upcoming autumn weather. So you can tell I've had this in the refrigerator for a little bit, just kind of waiting on it.
Weather. Mine's a winter beer. They're like, we release this in December.
Yeah. Well, I saw it was called Maple Whip, and you heard me playing these as you signed into Skype here. But
Cool Whip,
Cool Whip,
Cool Whip,
Cool Whip.
So the Maple Whip. So I'm gonna smell it, see, because it's. I don't know about you, but I think just by reading all that, it feels like I'm just gonna be drinking syrup.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Hopefully, it's got some booziness. 11% feels like it should have something to it, but let me see.
Yeah,
it smells.
This smells like my vagina. Does it smell like your vagina?
No, it doesn't.
Good.
A little less dank. See?
That is moist.
But it does. It. I smell a little bit of the cookie, a little bit of the roastiness. Yeah. Oh. Like you say, it almost smells like it's a roasted marshmallow. Like it's got that where it smells a little bit sweet, but it also, you can tell that it had fire on it a minute ago. But let's see what the flavor's like.
I like anything that tastes like it had fire on it a minute ago, though. Excuse me. Sorry about that.
It's definitely sweet. It is a dessert beer, and it's not one that you're going to be drinking a ton of these. It does come in a larger bottle. I don't think I said that before. Comes in 1 pint and 9 fluid ounces. So what's that, 23? It's a pint, 16? Oh, 1 pint, 0.9. I don't know. Why can't they just tell me how much it is? Alexa, how many ounces is 500 milliliters?
That's why we need to go to the metric system.
500 milliliters is about 17 fluid ounces.
Okay, 16.9. That's what it meant. So
it's like a bottle of water.
Right. Pretty much. Oh, boy. So
you didn't like that.
It is sweet. I do get some of that roastiness flavor to it. There's a lot of sweetness to it. So the marshmallow, the cookie, the brown sugar, graham cracker, caramel, maple. It all kind of mixed together. I can't really pick any of it out. So you get the sweetness, you get the roastiness. I would drink the rest of this, obviously, and enjoy it. I don't think I would grab it off the shelf anymore. And the rest of the reviews, it's 3.9 average, and that's pretty much where I'm going to put it at. I'm going to put it at the 3.75. There's another review that says too sweet, definitely not worth $23. And I don't think I spent $23 on it, but maybe close. So it is sweet, not too sweet, which is good, but I wish it did have a bit more of the booziness bite to it. I'm putting it at 3.75. I'm gonna enjoy it. It's not something that I would seek out again. If I saw it on the shelf, I'd be like, hey, I've had that, and then move on.
So
3.75, locked it in.
Do you it probably doesn't have as much vanilla as Vanilla Skilp, though. I'm just throwing that out there. Vanilla Skilp's hell of a beer. Hell of a beer.
Never even found that either. I did look. It's not a lot of Southern Tier around here that I can find at the moment.
I gotta find more Vanilla Skilp. It's Vanilla Skilp season. The weather's warming up. It was in the 70s yesterday. It was about 70 today and sunny.
Vanilla Skilp.
Tomorrow's gonna rain all day, but it's still gonna be, you know, a little bit warmer. I uncovered the patio furniture. We're like, kids have been hanging out there. I haven't hung out there because I haven't had time. But anyway.
Well, you're lucky you're not coming this weekend because it's going to be raining on. Well, it's raining Friday. Yeah, so it'd be raining Friday. And I think parts of Saturday, it's going to be windy. So hopefully that means that
the rain is
done this weekend and next weekend looks good.
I really hope so. That's, I mean, again, hope. we got the ponchos. They said, listen, you need to bring ponchos. So I brought it. Next Friday, it says high of fucking 85.
That's too long. They can't predict that far out.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but Monday, high of 85. Tuesday, high of 82. 83, 86, 85. Okay. It's going to be warm. Not as high. How hot is it going to be here, though? Let's see. It's going to be 100. High of 55 here next Friday. Jesus. We're in the 70s next week, which to me is like perfection. When it comes to weather, 70s, yeah. I could live with 70s all year long.
Yeah,
but it's going to be in the 80s. So I'm like, all right, so we're going to switch from jeans to shorts. I'm going to bring shorts and t-shirts, and that's all. Luckily, they said there is no circumstance where we will need to dress up on this trip. I said, fuck, yeah, that sounds good to me. So t-shirts, shorts, got it.
Okay.
Anyway, here I am. should I wear my I Like Whiskey and Maybe Three People shirt? I don't know. Maybe I should have.
That's right. And the back it says, and that's none of you.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
Crazy news.
Should we go to crazy news?
Yeah.
Maybe the drop.
I'm on top of my drop game today. I remember how to do this.
Do I go? I go.
Yeah, take it.
You've been doing this. So, first off, what I'd like to say, HuffPost.
Yeah.
Pay somebody more money to proofread. Because the first, the headline says, oh, they meant witness, but they spelled witness W-T-I-N-E-S-S. Oh. Come on now.
It's a ChatGPT headline there.
No, ChatGPT knows how to spell witness. I've yet to see it misspell a random word like that. Yeah. We're going to Australia, though.
This is Gillian.
So we're going down under. One of our friends at the HuffPost, where a passenger on a New Zealand flight was fined for peeing in a cup. You're not supposed to do that, Robert. You're supposed to use the lavatories. And you're not
supposed to tamper. It's appropriate because you'll be on a plane next week.
You're not supposed to smoke, nor are you supposed to tamper with the smoke detector.
Right. Because
that is a federal offense.
Right. They get angry at that.
A witness said the unidentified man was obviously quite drunk and spilled urine on a flight attendant. As he left the plane. Passenger has been fined for urinating in a cup during a delay in deplaning after landing at Sydney Airport. The incident after a three-hour New Zealand flight from Auckland occurred last December, and a Sydney court fined the 53-year-old man $6 Australian, which is approximately $395 in U.S. dollars for offensive behavior in February, officials said Friday. The incident only came to public attention on Friday when New Zealand news website Stuff reported that a passenger in the same row, identified only as Hove, said that she had reported the behavior to the air crew. She said she and her 15-year-old daughter were sitting in the aisle in middle seats when the man in the window seat, whose name has not been released, was urinating in a cup. So It is awkward when you have the window seat to have to squeeze by the strangers, but I don't know if
he had the really tight belt on.
I don't know because maybe he needed the extender. He didn't ask for one,
right?
So, but I don't know if that warrants even that. I don't feel warrants whipping your dick out on a flight and peeing in a cup. I don't know, Robert. Maybe at 6 in the morning. I'll let you know in a few weeks. Holly said the plane had been in the tarmac for about 20 minutes, waiting for a terminal gate to be allocated, when she heard the unmistakable sound of the of the passenger urinating in a cup. Stuff reported. Robert, do you have an example of what it sounds like?
I should have been prepared for this, huh?
You should have been, but you weren't. I'm putting you on the spot now.
There it is.
So, yeah, so they heard, they're on the tarmac, heard her 15-year-old daughter, and the guy next to them, who's apparently pissing in a cup, also farting at the same time, simultaneously. Very offensive. Smelled, and his penis was out. Just urinating, they had to listen to the sound of him. It was a substantial amount of urine, as you can tell. And then it kind of dribbled out at the end. His prostate flared up. She said that the man was obviously quite drunk and spilled urine on a flight attendant as he left the plane. It reported he should have put the cap back on the bottle, but the mishap with the attendant wasn't his crime. Australian Federal Police said in a statement that officers removed him from the plane because he had urinated into a cup while in the seat. No. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to do that, Robert.
Fuck, I'm wasted.
As you discuss, I'm fine. As we previously discussed, you're supposed to use the lavatories and not tamper with the smoke detectors. Air New Zealand said it does not comment on individual incidents. It said it bans between 5 and 10 customers each month for disruptive behavior, including intoxication.
It should.
That's not going to be me. I'm not getting banned. I'll probably never fly Southwest outside of an eighth grade field trip to DC. But yeah. Still, though, we've talked about it. These airlines talk to each other, though.
That's where he was headed. He was headed to DC with 148th graders, and he figured, you know what? I'm going to pee in this cup here.
My next visit to the DC area will be, you know, to hang out with my buddy Robert, not on an eighth grade trip. So I don't want to get banned and not be able to do that.
You'll have to fly Spirit at that point.
They'll take anybody as long as your baggage isn't too big. What's funny is they're not allowing us to check any bags, which is fine.
Right.
I just need a couple t-shirts and a couple shirts and a couple underwear and a couple pairs of socks.
Grocery bag and random
toiletries. But I bought a new suitcase.
Oh, and your CPAP, don't forget.
Well, that's separate. The CPAP can go in its own case, and that's considered a medical device and does not count against my carry-on and personal item limit. However, this bag, though, because it does have the front pocket. It's a carry-on size bag. It's slightly extendable, though, and I'm like, I just need to make sure. I don't know. Maybe I should spray it with WD-40 before we leave so that way it can slide conveniently and safely into the little bag size checker. I don't know if Southwest Airlines has these. I'm like, at least you know what? It could be worse. I could be flying Frontier, which is the Spirit Airlines.
You put it on the roof there and you put your arm out the window and you got to hold it.
It's not in the plane. Hopefully, if it's a Boeing 737, I'll have the whole paddle removed, and I'll just be able to hold it out there.
Did you see that? Another one with the part of the wing was coming off when they were trying to take off.
That was a Southwest Airlines, too. Damn it.
I was really careful about what I sent you this week.
I have the flight information. I should check and see. I'm just crossing my fingers it's an Airbus. Boeing, they don't give a fuck anymore. Like, I don't know. No. We don't care. Ever since the 737 MAX incident years ago, you know, whatever. Yeah. You get on our airplanes and you'll probably get to your destination, but there's also a chance that you might fly out the fucking window. We don't know. It's hard to say.
The same guy that built the Titanic.
We'll nosedive into the ground. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm going to look up the flight when we get done with this and see what kind of airplane we're on.
Our next story is going to take us. Well, it's going to keep us with our friends at the HuffPost.
Oh, that's good. Maybe they fucking spelled the headline correctly.
Well, I don't know. Not with that name. It was Porch Pirate dressed up as a trash bag to steal a package worth $10.
Remember, I sent you this one earlier.
Yeah, I had this one. I had one of the other ones too. So it's funny.
We always do that. I send you the stories, and I'm like, he's going to already have half of these, but.
Oh, man. Omar Gabriel Munoz. See, this one doesn't have the little Enye thing on the end.
They misspelled his name. Or is it Munoz?
Munoz. Was shocked to see someone hiding inside a trash bag, waddling up to his doorstep in order to steal a package containing two phone chargers.
Charge.
A homeowner in Sacramento, California had some items stolen from his porch.
It wasn't my phone charger, though, that one's here.
No, it was Lightning. But he got a big laugh in return. Omar Gabriel Munoz checked his surveillance system on Friday and was shocked by what he saw. Someone in hiding inside a trash bag waddling up to his door in order to steal a package. You see the bag coming to my door. And at first I thought they were messing with me. Yeah.
As you would think.
Yeah. Munoz said he got a notification that a package of two phone chargers worth about $10 because he bought the Amazon Basics had been delivered. When he got home, there was no package, so he checked his security footage and saw the video of the trashy porch pirate, TTB 247 trashy porch pirate.
There. Sometimes the shit just writes itself.
There he is.
I'm watching the video right now. He's literally... Why disguise yourself as a trash bag? Like,
you can squat.
They're going to know that trash bags don't typically walk up to and steal packages, right? Like,
Well, they do now.
Gabriel Munoz.
Yeah, Munoz. When he got home, there was no package, so he checked the security footage and saw the video of the trashy porch pirate. I think I read that. At first, I was kind of angry, but then I saw the video again, and I was laughing because people these days have a lot of creativity. So far, there are no suspects, but Munoz would love to meet the back man and already knows what he'd say. That was a good one, he said. You can see a video of the encounter below.
A for effort.
That's pretty good. That'd be good show art. I better write that down, Trashy Porch Pirate.
Trashy Porch Pirate. Look at it go. Trash bag, porch pirate. Trashy. Either one. Either there one I'm go. Okay with.
Okay.
I approve both options.
Pre-approved. You sign both of them and then I just pick one. No.
This is a good one.
I'm not going to tell you which one of your kids, which one of your kids this one would be.
Oh, we both know it'd be Harrison. Like the although last night it's so funny. So, Kelly. So we have Life 360, and we use it to track, you know, kids and stuff. We get a notification at 10. Well, after Colin went to bed, we get a notification that Colin's iPhone battery is low. So I'm like, that's interesting, because he always puts it on the
charger
when he goes to bed.
Yep.
So I go up there. It's like almost 11 o'clock. Uh-oh. And I go up there, and I'm like, I'm going to put his phone on the charger, because they had their PSATs today, whatever that is. And then they had an early dismissal today. So he needed to make we needed to make sure his phone battery was charged, because Callie was going to pick him up from school and blah, blah, blah. So, I go in there. The phone is not on the charger. Colin is completely covered. And I should say this. As I was opening the door, I could have sworn I heard something in the bedroom. Right?
Oh, no.
So, Colin's completely covered up. His head is covered. He's laying there, which isn't unlike him. He likes to put blankets over his entire person and stuff. But it's usually to look at his iPad or his phone or something like that. So I walk in the room, and I'm looking for the phone. So I go to one side. I look. It's not there. I'm looking to see if it's next to him. Even he knows he's not supposed to be playing with his phone after he goes to bed. Clearly he was, because it wasn't on the charger.
Yeah.
And then I go to the other side. I lift the cover up a little bit to see if it's on the bed next to him. Nothing. So I peel the covers back. He's laying there with his phone clutched in his arms, and he's completely awake. I said, "You son of a gun!" So needless to say, his phone is now going to be charged downstairs.
Yeah,
in the charging station that I've set up at our TV credenza under the doors that close, that they put their iPads and their fucking headphones, and Harrison's Apple Pencil that he likes to charge every single night, even though it doesn't get charged every single night. That's all down there. And I said, so your phone's going to go in there from now on. But nonetheless, Harrison would be the one that would get in a car and drive to school. So we're going
now,
to
you
CBS
don't use
9.
Screen time on the thing, so it shuts off at a certain time and it locks it?
So I thought I did. But apparently, it's I don't have it shut off at a particular time, because it just but I do. I'm more concerned with him like looking at porn than I am him using his phone. And how I'm going to control his phone is by making sure that when he goes to bed at night, his phone is not in his bedroom with him.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to be concerned with. But nonetheless, we're going to our friends at ABC, CBS. Sorry, not ABC. CBS 19.
That's two different things.
In Charlottesville. No.
Uh-oh.
California. Charlottesville. Is there a Charlottesville in California?
Yes.
I know. Doesn't fucking matter. We're going to California, where a 9-year-old who missed school drives his mom's car to school and sparks a police chase. Had to get to school. His or her parents. His parents. Said that, You'd be in trouble if you missed school. A California police officer got a shocking surprise.
But not for stealing the car.
When the car he was chasing came to a stop behind the wheel, a 9-year-old boy making his way to school. Just shock. Several other officers showed up as well. And it was kind of one of those no one really believed it kind of things. So several other officers showed up to the scene just to see, in fact, that it was a 9-year-old driving the vehicle, said Officer Terry Dunn with the Oroville, California Highway Patrol. Officer Dunn noticed that the car stopped in the middle of the intersection of 4th and Grand. He then announced over the PA system for the car to move, to which the boy turned onto 4th Street, making his way through his intersection, and then through the parking lot of the Valero gas station. The gas light went on. He figured he'd fill it up on his way to school standing at. Now, after navigating his way through the gas station, he made his way through the dirt lot over there, where he then backed into Officer Dunn's patrol car.
So this is like, what's happened here is that I think the article is coming from the video, like it's a transcription. It says, making his way through the intersection and then through the parking lot of the gas station that I'm standing at.
Well, I'm confused because there's no quotes.
Right. But it's the guy that the guy or the woman that's doing the story on the news, and they just transcribed it, because then it says, now after navigating through the gas station, he made his way to the dirt lot over there. After saying that it's in the gas station that he's standing at, or she's standing at.
Thank you for noticing that, because I'm really confused right now. Because, like you said, there's no quotes. There's nothing. Right. There's
it's
nothing.
In the first person.
Yeah. Thank you for noting. Thank you for calling
Chat
that out.
ChatGPT strikes again. Who knows?
Because I'm very confused. Okay, now in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
A few seconds later, I did notice a little head bobbing inside. Unusual. I exited my patrol vehicle.
I shot
an approach. And as I was approaching, I could see a kid, which turned out to be a 9-year-old child, sticking his head out saying, I'm sorry, I was trying to get to school. Dunn said. So now we know. There's some context now.
Right.
Fucking stop using ChatGPT to write articles.
And he was sitting right over there.
It's not there yet.
No.
It's not ready for prime time yet. No. AI is going to run the world very soon. This is not there quite yet. Give it another year. Yeah. A few seconds later, we already said that part. The boys' school was right next door.
See? Right over there.
Yeah, it's right next to the Valero gas station.
That I'm standing at.
Before he backed into his patrol car. At that point, we're trying to identify if it was the school he was actually heading to. We contacted the principal.
Contacted.
I like to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable for fun. We contacted the principal. We contacted the parent. And everyone showed up to the scene. So the principal and the parent both showed up.
Yep.
I mean, if
everyone.
I'm a school principal and they
everyone.
Contact me.
The whole town.
I'm going to show everybody. The mayor was there.
See,
he
right
gave
over
the
there.
Kid a key to the city.
He was right over there.
Right over right. there. Right over there. We don't know where there was. The Valero gas station in the school next to it.
It's next to the statue of
Officer
Jebediah Dunn Springfield.
Despite... Oh, Officer Dunn said, despite no one getting hurt, it could serve as a lesson to keep the car keys out of the kids' reach and teach kids the importance of not driving a fucking car. I didn't say the
it should.
The importance of driver safety and laws. Like, the laws that say that 8-year-olds or 9-year-olds should not operate motor vehicles. Hopefully, a lot of other people take this to heart and learn from it. So hopefully this doesn't happen again in the future. I feel like my both of my kids know that they're not supposed to drive a car yet. Like, isn't that just kind of like common knowledge? Like, you're 14, you're 10 years old. Neither of you should be operating a motor vehicle at this point. Just maybe talk to your children about the dangers of driving a vehicle and what could possibly happen. Dunn said. Officer Dunn said the boy actually got to go to school after the whole situation. So good. They took him to school. I mean, I appreciate the fact that this kid was like, I got to get to fucking school. I had a math checkpoint today. You know, teacher
after his
my
arrest,
parents, my teacher
making it impossible
mad
for them
I'm
to get
there.
A test to determine his blood alcohol level.
I don't know why you're.
I just like the after his arrest part.
Bad. It's not that bad. Talk about the butt injections.
Oh, it's got to disable my ad blocker. They want me to click a button that says that I can. What is that? I got to continue without supporting them.
It should just say I'm an asshole or support.
Right. Yeah.
For the first time, from the woman accused of performing illegal butt injections.
Oh, yeah, illegal butt injections.
That's for friends at KHOU,
problematic.
KHOU, they really needed it, said the woman accused of providing illegal butt injections, says her passion is boosting self-confidence. According to the court documents, a 56-year-old mother is facing charges of delivery of a controlled substance and practicing medicine without a license. A woman arrested earlier this week after being accused of traveling across the country to provide illegal butt injections.
You ever got an illegal butt injection? Have you ever gotten a legal one?
I mean, I thought about it. I've gotten one legal and one illegal, just to balance it out. Consuelo Maria Del Bao, 56, made her first court appearance on Friday. She is facing a felony drug charge and misdemeanor charge of practicing medicine without a license. Consuelo Maria spoke with KHOU 11 while out on bond and said her passion is helping people and boosting women's self-confidence. Believe me, everything I do it with my heart. And everyone who knows me, they know me. I guess that makes sense, Consuelo Maria said. I do it because they really need it and not just because they pay me, although I'm sure that doesn't hurt. Consuelo Maria went on to say that while she isn't a licensed doctor in the United States, she did go to medical school in Mexico for 3 years. Prosecutors said that Consuelo Maria does for a living makes her a danger to society. They said that she and her daughter Isabella Del Bao, 18, were arrested during an undercover operation conducted by the Federal Drug Administration and the Houston Police Department. They apparently arranged to have a house available because she only does house calls. House is not included, said Harris County Assistant DA.
She doesn't have an office.
Well, she's doing it. She's on the road all the time. Prosecutors said Consuelo Maria also offered the undercover officer Xanax to help them relax. She was then paid $6,000 in cash to do the procedure. This defendant has no license, no certificate, no permit to do any procedure, even remotely close to injecting these unknown substances into people, Hansel said.
First off, if you're about to get an operation done, they show up with suitcases. I'm just throwing that out there.
Prosecutors said a large investigation by the FDA was already underway. They were looking for folks who were bringing illegal substances into the U.S. when they learned Consuelo Maria was one of the several people using the substances for cosmetic procedures in the Houston area and in other states. They said Consuelo Maria had just flown back from seeing a client in California when she was arrested. Since then, prosecutors said four women from Harris County have come forward claiming they've received services from her. My biggest concern is for the people who don't do their research being hired or before hiring someone like her or paying someone like her to put a chemical they don't even know what it is inside them, Hansel said. Prosecutors said the FDA is now in the process of getting the substance tested. We'll figure out what it is and if it was dangerous, but regardless of what it is, it's not approved for injection into anyone's buttocks, Hansel said. Prosecutors said depending on the outcome of the ongoing investigation, Consuelo Maria's charges could be upgraded. Since then, prosecutors said four women in Harris County have come forward claiming they've received services from her. My biggest for the people who don't do their research before hiring someone like her, and by research they mean just Googling it,
yeah,
or paying someone like her.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough these days. Wikipedia. Right,
Craigslist. To put a chemical that they don't know what's inside them. Prosecutors said the FDA is now in the process of getting the substance tested. We'll figure out what it is and if it was dangerous, but regardless, it's not approved for injection into anyone's buttocks. Prosecutors said, depending on the outcome of the ongoing investigation, Consuelo Maria's charges could be upgraded.
She can only hope to get an upgrade.
Right. It'd be upgraded like all the butts she stuck the needle in it.
It'd be upgraded to an iPhone 15.
Not the Pro,
14,
though.
15. What's the current? What do we have now?
Oh, 15? Yeah, 15. I always have to check, too. Like, what is it?
What number is it now? I don't know. It's a 15 Pro Max.
Yep. Yeah, for now. Yeah. 5 more months, we'll be getting new ones.
Yeah, that's right. It's almost time for free iPhone time.
I'm going to go camp out at UPS now.
I kind of want one of the new iPad Pros, though. Yeah. But I was thinking, I was like, do I need it if I have a MacBook?
No.
Probably not, but
yeah.
They're coming out with new ones next month that have OLED displays.
Cool.
And are actually more powerful than my MacBook. But it doesn't have, the problem is I do a podcast. If I didn't do a podcast, I'd probably be
life would be so much better.
No,
I have a big ass iPad. But
I attribute the podcast to, very, very important people in my life, particularly Kelly.
And all the things we've uncovered.
She was a long way before Kelly.
Like this guy. But,
the podcast was this guy and Melissa and the cats, Stella, Bailey. All right, here we are. We're going to Kentucky. Today. I saw this article, and I didn't send it to you, so I thought it was in poor taste. But here we are.
Oh, no.
Kentucky man admits to faking his own
death. I didn't read it.
To avoid paying child support.
Was he wheelchair-bound and died in a fire?
We're going to Global Pulse News. Global Pulse, friends of the show.
That should have clued me in, and I was gonna check it. Like I meant to Google it, and then when you said you were 5 minutes late, I was like, "Good," because I haven't looked at any of these stories yet, so I just threw it in there.
Here we are. A man in Southern Kentucky has admitted to court to faking his to avoid paying more than $100,000 in outstanding child support to his ex-wife, Jesse Kipf, K-I-P-F, however the fuck you want to pronounce that, 39, pleaded guilty on the 29th of March in federal court to computer fraud and identity theft after he accessed Hawaii's death registry system and posed as a doctor from another state in order to create a fake death certificate for himself. Not supposed to do that. According to plea agreement filed in court, Kip filled out a Hawaii death certificate worksheet in early 2023. Assigned himself as a medical certifier in the case and certified his own death. I know you could do that.
He himself
applied a digital signature for the physician.
He signed him,
providing his name, title, and license number. This resulted in the defendant being registered as deceased in many government databases. The government said, which he would regret when it was time for him to collect Social Security. Kipf then infiltrated other states' death registry systems during credentials stolen from other people to infiltrate private businesses, government and corporate networks, allegedly for booking systems of a number of hotel chains. Hold on, somebody just sent me an image. Oh boy, he looks like the type.
He's got the neck beard too.
Kipf.
Yeah.
Then tried to sell access to the networks to potential customers online. The defendant faked his own death, in part in order to avoid outstanding child support obligations to his ex-wife, the government said. But the plan eventually went wrong. Things went awry, Robert. That happens sometimes. Kipf now owes about $116,000 to his ex-wife, Kipf, along with $200,000 to businesses and government agencies he hacked. In addition, he faces a maximum of 7 years in prison and up to $500,000 in fines at a sentencing date tentatively set for the 12th of April. Oh, so sentencing is coming up here. By the time this episode comes out, he will have been sentenced. I can't wait to follow up on this next episode in several weeks after I get back from D.C.
Story from our friend at the Babylon Bee to close us out tells us that mental health experts confirm that Sunny Day at the Ballpark is 1,000 times more effective than antidepressants. The hot dogs are good. The beer is good. The pretzels are good. As long as the weather's good. Following extensive research, again, just by Googling, mental health experts...
extensive
Googling. Mental health experts have confirmed that a sunny day at the ballpark is 1,000 times more effective than taking antidepressants. Investigative studies, as long as your team wins, performed by a team comprised of some of the foremost minds in the mental health field, proved conclusively that a depressed person who attends one baseball game on a breezy sunny day comes away much happier than they would have had they ingested a powerful cocktail of prescription medication.
Robert, the Tigers are playing the Nats in June.
Uh-oh. They're here.
In Detroit.
Oh, in Detroit? Okay.
Here. It's in the middle of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, though.
We'll have to keep an eye out on it.
I'm throwing that out there. We're going to lob it out there.
It might be the case. The impact of afternoon ball game is staggering. Charles Foster of the Sports Psychology Center.
Oh, Charles.
Much to our surprise, the warm sunshine, feeling a mild breeze, hearing the crack of the bat, and smelling popcorn and beer is far more effective at treating depression than any antidepressant on the market today.
You don't need medication. Yeah. You need baseball.
Yeah, baseball is not covered by insurance, though. No wonder people lived such happier lives back when most baseball games were played during the day. One fan.
But I mean, after the co-pays and the deductibles.
Time in line.
You could probably buy a day at the ballpark, especially 1,000 times more effective. Baseball game.
Oh, and while you're at the CVS picking up your pills, you can buy some Buffalo Trace.
If you're in Michigan, you can buy all the booze at the CVS or the Kroger.
See, it's practically cheaper for me to fly up there and buy a bottle of Buffalo Trace.
If you buy enough booze, you can more than make up for the cost of the trip.
One fan attending a Tigers Pirates game in Pittsburgh confirmed it.
Oh yeah, that just
happened. Oh yeah. I've never felt better. He said, earlier today I hated my life. I was drowning in stress and anxiety. Now look at where I am. It doesn't get any better than this. A day at a baseball game is God's antidepressant. A hot dog helps too. As long as it's got mustard.
Petco Park. Although Petco Park is pictured there, I think isn't that that's San Diego.
Alexa, where is Petco Park?
Petco Park is in San Diego, California.
See,
yeah. So it's funny they put Petco Park there because the Pirates were played in Pittsburgh. The series that the Tigers had just finished up a series against the
Pirates,
and it was in Pittsburgh.
At publishing time, experts advise that the antidepressant effect doubles if the person attending the game periodically yells out, "Hey, batter, 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 batter," when opposing players at the plate.
So that'd be 2,000 times doubled more effective. So if you take antidepressants, but then you go to the ballpark, it multiplies the effectiveness of the antidepressants, antidepressants by 2,000 by the factor of 2,000.
But then you still
got
to say, hey, batter.
You ever said that at a baseball game?
All the time, but not when when your own batter's up to plate. You can't do it.
No, it's a taunt. You got to taunt the other the other team.
Counteracts the effectiveness of it if it's your own guy.
That's true. Then it's only 500 times more effective.
Still worth it.
Still good. But
that's all from the hot dog.
But also, you probably get your ass kicked for taunting your own batter, especially in Pittsburgh. They'll fuck you up good.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the hot dog, you put mustard and onions. Call it a day.
Mm.
That sounds delicious.
I haven't had dinner yet, so I'll fucking...
I did, but it still sounds good.
Throw some food down right now.
Well, shit, that's episode 247, Trashy Porch Pirates.
There it is.
And we won't be seeing you next week.
Probably not.
Yeah, no.
I could always do show notes on the flight, though. Although at 6 in the morning, I probably, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I took,
circle.
We're leaving for D.C. on Friday and coming home Sunday evening. I took Thursday, Friday, and Monday off work. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it.
You should.
Probably still end up working from home some on Thursday.
Yeah.
But
emails and stuff.
Yeah, there's always my job. It never stops. That's the problem. Is I'm always working even when I'm not. Like as I look at my work email right now, I have emails that need to be responded to, but I'm not even.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are.
Well, episode we'll two. See you in 2 weeks.
295. You can contact us at 530-664. 9 or 17, and
I noticed that you had a phone number.
Exactly, 530-882-2627. Call us or leave us a text message if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. Nobody ever fucking
would.
People listen to this show, but they don't fucking call in.
No,
it's almost like
they
just want us to talk and they want to hear what we have to say, but they don't want to communicate. They don't want to communicate with us.
Yeah, it's a two-way conversation, three-way, I guess. If you involve them instead of just us.
Robert and I are fine with a three-way.
Right. We encourage it.
We encourage a three-way. So feel free to call us,
as long as it's not Tony.
Tony from Eastern Michigan. I agree with him on one thing, and that's the rating of the blot out the sun from Three Floyds. We both gave it a 4.
Yeah.
Other than that, though, I agree with him on nothing whatsoever. Preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. No words of their own, not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.